A very strong soldier. She has walked through the many fires that the ministry has created. So praise the Lord. Let's say something.
Okay.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I was sitting here and I was just thanking the Lord for the privilege to be here. That God would give us the honor to be able to be with you. You know, we had they weren't our parents, but they were our godly parents. Brother and Sister
Duciel.
And for over 40 years, we walked with them. And they are now in the great cloud of witnesses. And as we were singing, I felt their presence here. And I can remember Mr. Duciel telling me something one time. And it's Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In the law does he meditate day and night. You see, as we build that relationship with God, it is a sweet smelling savor. And it makes life so much easier. Because in any trial, in any tribulation, no matter what, we have a God that is with us. And God knows our hearts. So let us open our heart to him and walk in the way of God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to move around here.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to get the cord out here. That way I don't feel caged in. I'm a walker. I like to walk in and talk. When my sons were working for me, they liked to talk, but they didn't like to walk. Praise the Lord. And when I say that, I mean they used to work for me. And sometimes they were more talking than working. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I always said to them, if you can't Work and talk, don't talk. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My name is Brother Bert. My last name is Asbil. It probably sounds as strange to you as some of your names sound to me. But unfortunately, that was the name I was born with. But what I do know that there is a new name that is written for me in heaven. A name that it says that one day will be declared by the Father. That's in Revelation. Hallelujah. And in order to have that name, I have to pursue after and possess the nature that God has bequeathed to me by virtue of His blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there are my ministry is kind of a peculiar ministry. I work within the prophetic realm. I do not call myself a prophet. I have been called a prophet. And some people have prophesied over me that I have a prophetic ministry. But what I know about my ministry is that sometimes it is pulling down, it is plucking up, and sometimes planting. Praise the Lord. So whatever you hear tonight, you could probably fit it into one of those categories. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God does not tear anything down unless He is determined to build something new upon what it is He has torn down. God does not pluck up anything that He does not plant something in the place of that which He has plucked up. Hallelujah. And if we believe in true Christianity, it is a Christianity of tearing down, plucking up, and planting and building. Yeah, get me untangled because I need to walk. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read to you out of the book of Genesis. I want to go to the 12th chapter. Now, I don't know if any of you are aware of it. The Hebrew and the Greek language is built on a numeric system, a number system. I don't know, is Amharic built on a number system?
Yes,
sir. Huh? Oh, praise the Lord. So then you understand what I'm saying. But with numbers, it's not only with languages and numbers, it's just not numeric lyrics are languages. Everything in the Bible has a meaning. And numbers in God has a meaning. The number one stands for God. Number two, the number two stands for witness. You have God the Father and God the Son, as well as God the Holy Spirit. One with two of them witnessing to the reality of the other. Hallelujah. Three is the number of fullness. Hallelujah. If you were to take and look at nature, everything in its basic structure is in the development of three. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Four is the number of tribulation. Numbers have a meaning in God. Hallelujah. And if we can begin to under the concept of the meaning or the spiritual reality of numbers, hallelujah, then we can begin to glimpse a little more and get a better revelation of God Himself. What I know about God, I'm walking. Okay. What I know about God is that God wants you to know Him. How many of you own a Bible? I want to see your hands, please. If you own a Bible, how many of you have your Bible with you tonight? Would you hold up your Bible, please? Well, that's not too good. There's less Bibles here than those that own them. And if you don't have a Bible, or if you don't utilize your Bible, you will never know God. Coming to this meeting or church, sitting in your seat and never opening your Bible, it will be of no value to you. And I'll tell you something else. At the end of the day, there is a good possibility that you will wind up in deception and sin. These are not just words written on a page and stuck between two hardback covers. This is the living Word of God. This is the living Word of God concerning you. Not only is it the living Word of God, but it has written within it your history, your calling and election, and your destiny at the end of the day. And I'm not talking about going to heaven. Everybody's looking at me strange. You mean you do not believe in heaven? I most certainly do. But I don't believe that heaven is out there somewhere in the Milky Way. I don't believe that heaven is somewhere out in another universe. Does anyone know where heaven is? Nobody knows, or are you just afraid to answer me?
Yes, no,
Hallelujah. The Bible says that heaven is in you. Did you hear me? If you're born again, have the blood of Jesus Christ been applied to your lives? Hallelujah. If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, not only is heaven within you,
hallelujah,
but the totality of a living, omnipresent, omnipotent, omnipowerful God is inside of you. And we sit and we act as though God is nowhere around. First John, not First John, John the first chapter. And somewhere around the 12th or the 13th verse, somewhere in there, what the Bible says is that as many that believe upon Him gave He power. Did you hear me? Gave you power to become the sons of God.
Hallelujah.
Did you hear me?
Yes, I'm not you know.
Are you utilizing the power? Are you even aware that you have the power? What is it that the church is telling you? Is it telling you you have to hang on to the end and one day Jesus will come? Hallelujah. And if you're fortunate enough are lucky enough to make it in, you will be accepted by God. Hallelujah. What kind of gospel is that? I ask you, is it a living gospel? Or is it a hanging on gospel? Hanging on. You know, when I was a very young person in the Pentecostal church, we had this particular little old lady who would always come to church. At every meeting when they would call for a prayer request, this little lady would get up and raise her hand and she would say, please, please pray that I will make it to the end.
Hallelujah.
Bless her heart. She did not know any better. When the Bible talks about the power in John chapter 1, it uses a particular Greek word that means authority. Authority. Authority to possess. Authority to rule. Authority to change. And authority to move out and beyond your limitations in this human realm. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
How many here are satisfied with your earthly, fleshly condition?
Adler?
Are you satisfied with it? If you're satisfied with it, my message is not for you. But if you're pressed down, if you're oppressed, if you're kicked around by devils, if you are lacking authority in every area of your life, hallelujah, then what I am telling you is the word of God for you this evening. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And there is something else that I want to share with you concerning that word. It is peculiar. My ministry is peculiar, I have to say. I come in here with something I want to share and God gives me something else. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But in Genesis, the chapter, first chapter, there was a commandment that God gave to man. And it was a commandment of authority. And if you examine it and you pray over it, God will begin to reveal to you the reality, the source of it, and the ability that it will have for you if you really want it. Most of us just want to get into heaven. We don't want to go to hell. Anybody here want to go to hell? Hallelujah. You know, when I got saved, I didn't get saved necessarily because I really wanted to be saved. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. I believed in the reality of hell. There was enough hell in my life and hell all around me that I was desperate to take any means that I could get by which I might be able to escape it. But you know something, to God that didn't make any difference. Because what He wanted was for me to be born again. Hallelujah. Not that He would save me from hell. Hello? Not that He would save me from hell, but that He could begin to talk with me. A concept is all wrong, brother. We want to save people to keep them from going to hell. Hallelujah. And we work all of our lives trying to make them be good, trying to make them be righteous. And you can't make anybody good, and you can't make anybody righteous. Hallelujah. That was proved in the basis of the law that was given to the Jews in the beginning through Moses.
Huh?
Hallelujah. 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 But God had a secret weapon. And that weapon was the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that blood is not just to make you alive. Hallelujah. But that blood translates you. It takes you up out of, plucks you out of that realm of death and hell and puts you into the living realm of God. Hallelujah. The minute that you are born again,
You are walking in the realm of heaven. Hallelujah. And once where you could not hear God, you now are able to recognize His voice. Hallelujah. Stop trying to make people good and start introducing people to God. My job is not to make you good. My job is to introduce you to God. Hallelujah! Because God can do something that I can't. God can get down inside of you. God can get into your emotions. God can get into your desires. God can get into your mind. He can get down there in your will. But you see, being born again isn't enough. Hallelujah. You have an entity of life within you that is encapsulated with a hostile environment. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Hostile. Hallelujah. Hostile. In fact, the nature that you were born with looks at the nature of God that is within you, and He looks at it with disdain. Hallelujah. He looks at it with hatred. Hello? You know, my mother used to say to me, Bert, you are your own worst enemy. Hallelujah. And you know, that was Bible. Romans, the 7th chapter. Paul says, I do those things that I would not. But those things that I would do, I find that I would want to do in God, I find no strength to do them. Hallelujah. And not only that, hallelujah, but the Bible says in Romans the 8th chapter that my carnal mind is an enmity against God. You know what enmity means? It means enemy. The Bible, I don't know what your Amharic, maybe you should look it in Amharic, but it says that my natural mind, the mind that I was born with because of my parents, hallelujah, it is at war with God. It will always be at war with God, and it can never find itself reconciled to God. That's what Romans the 8th chapter says. Let me read it for you. So you do not think that I am bringing to you some strange doctrine. Hallelujah. And I want you to read that in the Amharic. Hallelujah. Here, open that for me. Romans, the 8th chapter. The 6th verse. Now, 6 is the number of man. Let's read it. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. I want to know, what does your Bible say where it says enmity?
The same.
The same?
Yes.
What does it mean in your language?
Yeah, it says enmity.
Huh? Well, tell me what it means. I want to hear it. Huh? What does the word, what does it mean? Does it mean hatred?
Yes.
Does it mean war?
Yes.
Does it mean reconciliation?
Yeah.
No.
No. No. No reconciliation.
Huh? Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's my mind. That's the mind that I was born with. Hello? Hallelujah. God has to do something about it. I'm born again, but I still have my carnal mind. And my carnal mind begins to interpret God. Now, do you think that interpretation is going to be harmonious with God's thinking? Hello? Hallelujah. You got it right, right? Praise the Lord. God has to do something about it. So, He has to give you an inside tool to work with. He has to give you a tool that thinks like God. He has to give you a tool that can commune with God and commune with you. And when I say the you, I'm talking about the new you. That little bit of life that is inside of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that tool is called the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I had a board, I would draw a picture for you. When God created you in His image, it doesn't mean that God has two hands, two feet, two ears, one nose, one mouth. Hallelujah. Because if that is true, then God also has wings, and sometimes He looks like an eagle. Hallelujah. Because it says that He flies with eagle wings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a spirit. He's not an animated form like what we have that we call a body. Hallelujah. So how is it that we are made in the image of God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before I tell you the secret, I want to share with you a little inside information. In the beginning, when God created something, and I'm talking about plants and living things, animals and living things, not man yet. He created them with a certain potential, and He put restrictions on that potentiality. Hello? This is Genesis chapter 1, by the way. Go home and check me out. Make sure that I'm not preaching to you a false doctrine. Hallelujah. And every time he created a plant, he said, and it shall bring forth after its own kind. Hallelujah. Can you hear that? So plants are plants. And they can reproduce themselves, but they will never be anything other than a plant. Hallelujah. When he created the animals, he said, and everything shall produce after its own kind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, if God wants us to be like him, he has to put within us a limitless, no limit, potentiality to expand beyond the nature of what we were created in the very beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says he was created man a little lower than the angels. Hallelujah. But was what? Lifted up and exalted to be made ruler over all that which God has created. So when God created man, he put the potential of Godness in man. Did you hear me? Why are we waiting to go to heaven? Why are we falling down in adoration and worship of the devil? Why are we afraid of spirits? If inside of each and every believer there is that potentiality to be like God. Hallelujah. 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 I want to read. Hallelujah. And this is kind of a verification or a witness to the Godness that God put inside of man. And he said in verse 29 of chapter 1, I'm in Genesis chapter 1, hallelujah, no, 28, it said that God blessed them. If you were in the meeting last night, you saw the power of the blessing that God had blessed them with in the word that was coming. Hallelujah. God blessed them. And God said unto them. Now, this is the blessing of God. It's not a word that I would say to my brother in a Christian manner, in a Christian, well, God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I should have the same blessing in me that was in God, that when I say to my brother, and God bless you, I release an authority to my brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when God blessed them, God released the authority, and he says, be fruitful. Hallelujah. And multiply. And replenish the earth. You know, brethren, this commandment is a commandment that God is giving to those that He wants to be sons. Do you believe God changes His mind?
No.
It's impossible. I'm the same today as I was yesterday, and I will be the same tomorrow. It says in God there is no shadow of turning.
That's God saying that.
Absolutely. Hallelujah. It's God. And when He says be fruitful, you have to have a spiritual reality. This realm that we live in right here, it is a mere shadow. It is an illusion of what exists in a spiritual environment. Hallelujah. Do you remember the man who Jesus touched that was blind? And He said to the man, what seest thou? And the man says, I see men as trees walking. Huh? As trees of righteousness. Huh? Hallelujah. We're waiting for heaven to see all of it, brother. We're waiting to get into that land of glory to be able to experience that revelation in all of the time. It's right inside of you. It's right inside of you. And the devil doesn't want you to know it. So the devil got into the church business. He says, I know. I'll get them organized. I'll get them with a board of directors. I'll get them with a system, a pyramid system. Hallelujah. And that way, they will not be able to communicate with me. Do you hear me? And so they brought forth a church that was called the Catholic Church. Oh yes. Hallelujah. The Bible calls her. Hallelujah. They took the Bible away from the people. They put it down into the archives, down in the basement under the Vatican. Hit it. Hallelujah. Until God anointed one priest by the name of Martin Luther to go down into the archives and dig it out of the grave in which they had buried it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in that movement, the church was born. But I want to tell you something. The Bible doesn't call her just the great whore. The Bible calls her the mother of harlots. Jesus. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. If she's a mother, she has to have children. Oh, you already know where I'm going, don't you? Praise God. Huh? If she's a mother, she has to have children. Hallelujah. And her children became the Lutheran, the Episcopal, the Methodist. Hallelujah. Every one of them patterned after the same pattern of Rome. Everyone having a head, everyone having their assistants, their vice assistants.
their vice presidents,
their board of directors,
hallelujah,
and the business of God trickles down from the top
and waters the rest.
Waters the rest
of it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's a no-no. It's a no-no. Hallelujah. You and I were born again to walk and to talk with God. Hallelujah. I have one head, and that head is God. Hallelujah. But the body has many parts, and I have to walk in harmony with the many parts that are of the body of Christ. Now, brethren, just because somebody says they're a Christian doesn't make them a part of the body of Christ. What makes me or you a part of the body of Christ? It is if we do what the Father is telling us to do. The Son has no head except the Father. Hallelujah. My body works in harmony with itself. I do not understand the mechanics of it. I don't know that I have to understand the mechanics of it. If I want a drink of water, my eyes look for the bottle. My hand reaches automatically. It works to bring it to a place of fulfillment. There's no shoulder ministry telling my elbow ministry, telling my hand ministry what to do. Every part is connected to the head. Every part is working with the head, and every part is working together with each other. Now, we think it's impossible to put it into a human realm. We think it's improbable that you can get people together, hallelujah, and without telling them what to do or how to do it. Hallelujah. Because we do not know God. Hello? We do not know God. Hallelujah. There is a declaration made by Jesus Christ to the church. Do you remember the little story that Jesus told about those that he barred from coming into fellowship with him? Do you remember the story? It's in the Gospels. They said to them, "But Lord, Lord, haven't we cast out demons? Haven't we healed the sick? And isn't John and Joe and Jill and Jane are Christian today because we gave them the gospel?" Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God said, "I don't know you. I don't know you." He's talking to the church, brother. He's talking to the church, brother. He's not talking to the congregation. He's talking to the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when God began to bring me this revelation, I had to get down on my face and begin to repent of my position of preeminence and religious pride. And ask God
God, and I have to ask God to bring the fire into my life. I was not satisfied to wait for it. Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bibles. There is a scripture that God gave me for you tonight. And I have been talking on that scripture, but I want to share it with you. It's in Genesis chapter 12. 12 is the number of government. Twelve thrones, 12 apostles, hallelujah, number of government, hallelujah, hallelujah. So God is dealing with a governmental issue in chapter 12, hallelujah. Did you hear me? God is dealing with a governmental issue. Hallelujah! You are Ethiopian. You reside in a land that is called Ethiopia. And you have a government that you are supposed to be in subjection to. You live by his rules. You live by their laws. If you transgress them, there is a penalty that comes to you because of your transgression. Is that not right? Amen? Is that right? Hallelujah. It is the same position of overshadowing in God. So the first thing that God has to tell you to do is to line up with the principles of his government. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord hath said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, get thee out from thy kindred, and get thee out from thy father's house. Hallelujah. And get thee unto a land that I will show you. Hallelujah. This is the word to you and I, huh? When we become born again. Hello? It says that Abraham went from place to place looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Hallelujah. He never found it. Not in the natural realm. Hallelujah. But there is a realm that has been opened to us. Hallelujah. When it says, get thee out of thy country, I am a citizen of the United States of America. Hallelujah. There are no citizens of the USA in heaven. My passport is no value. I come to the gatekeeper and say, well, here's my US passport. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He'll look at this and look at me as though I'm some strange thing. Hallelujah. Get thee out of thy country. Let me tell you some of the spirits that are pertinent to the United States. I can talk about them because I'm one of them. And if I talk about myself, you can't be offended. Unless you know that I'm talking about you. We the people have an independent right. I am independent. Did you hear me? It's a spirit of independence. All men are created equal. Hello? Equality is something that I have the right to demand. They're spirits that are contrary to being humble, to being meek, to being submissive, to being flexible. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So God has to begin to deliver me of those propensities. And he can only deliver me if I am aware that I have those things within me. Many years back, there was a big argument in the church in the U.S. as to whether or not a Christian could have a devil. I found out that a Christian can have anything he wants. The Christian can have as many devils as he desires. If he is an angry man, he can have an angry spirit. If he is a greedy man, he can have a greedy spirit. If he is a miserable man, he can hold on to that miserableness. Hallelujah. But God, in His love, when He gives you the blood, gives you the ability to know it, to see it, and to reject it. Hallelujah.
The evil spirit.
Yes, of course. Hallelujah. Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred. Hallelujah. My goodness. I have a history of people behind me. I have a history of people around me. Hallelujah. All under the suppressive hand of Satan. All under the suppressive position of bondage. Hallelujah. And that environment is also in me. Hallelujah. I am a product of my country. I am a product of my environment, and I am a product of my heritage, which comes down to me through the blood. Hallelujah. Being born again doesn't deliver me from all of those propensities. If you could draw it on a big black circle on a board, and then just in the very middle of that circle put a minuscule dot of red. And that is the condition of my soul. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? That is the condition of my soul when I am born again. Hallelujah. So God has to give me something to help me. He has to bring in my support base. And then he begins to talk to me about being baptized into the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Am I going too long? I have to finish.
Yes.
Oh, all right. Well, how do I finish that? Hallelujah. He has to give me the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes into my spirit. And the Holy Spirit overshadows my soul. Overshadows my soul to strengthen the life of God that has been impregnated. Within the womb that the Bible calls the soul. Hallelujah. And begins to develop the life of Christ. Praise the Lord. I'll stop.
Can I
break it off?
You spoke of two things, and I have the scriptures for them.
You can share them, yes.
1 Corinthians 3:16. And Matthew 7:24-29. Yes. The Corinthians speaks about us being the temple of God. And Matthew 7 is the scripture that speaks about you were talking about knowing men, in our house.
Amen.